Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 7 Sundays ago, which I know that's a long time ago, I can hardly remember yesterday or the day before, but 7 Sundays ago, the 12 days of Christmas came to an end as we celebrated the Feast of Epiphany. We read the story of the Magi and how God led them, likely to the toddler Jesus, toddling around, that God led them to Jesus by the leading of a star. We celebrated and remembered that God revealed God's very self in Jesus to the whole world, to all nations, to all people. And for the past 7 Sundays in this season after Epiphany, we have heard stories of how God revealed and continues to reveal God's presence in Jesus to the world. And today is Transfiguration Sunday. The Feast of Epiphany is bookended by these two events: Epiphany, God revealing God's self to the world, and Transfiguration, God revealing to us both Jesus' humanity and his divinity. Several years ago now, for a few months, I lived with a family who at that time had 3 young children. Every night we ate dinner together. Before the meal was through, we would go around the table from youngest to oldest and share our roses and thorns from the day. Some families call it sharing your highs and lows, but they called it your roses and thorns. A rose is the best part of your day, and the thorns are the lowest part of your day. For the children, a thorn might be something like getting a boo-boo or somebody hurting their feelings. The high might be having a play date with a friend or not having any homework that day. The youngest child was 2 at that point, and for months his high was going to his granddad's house at the beach. Even after that trip was long over, every day his high was going to Pappy Lee's house. Every day, every night at dinner, we had this same pattern of sharing our roses and thorns, our highs and lows. There's a rhythm to our lives that kind of follows this as well. We sort of fluctuate between mountain highs and valley lows, and although I'm much more content to kind of stay somewhere in between than having lots of mountain highs, we often find ourselves in these two very different places. Some mountain highs might include getting a promotion or falling in love or having a baby. But some of the valley lows are things like losing a job, losing a loved one, getting in a car accident, going through some kind of illness or injury. For Jesus and the 3 disciples he took with them, the Transfiguration was a true mountaintop experience. It was likely the most incredible thing they had seen since they dropped everything to follow Jesus. I mean, this was true mountaintop stuff. A bright shining light, the appearance of Moses and Elijah, 2 of their most treasured religious figures, and then the voice of God declaring what they hoped was true when they decided to follow Jesus, that this was God's Son, God's chosen one. But then, and always then, there is a low. They have to come back down the mountain. They have to come back down from that experience, telling no one what they heard or saw. They can't stay on that mountain as much as they want to. Jesus doesn't even let them build these shrines to celebrate and remember what they experienced. It would have been a lot easier if they could have stayed on that mountaintop where Jesus' humanity and divinity was celebrated. But they have to come back down. Because after all, coming down is at the heart of Jesus' ministry. Jesus came down to earth. He was born a human. We believe in the incarnation, which is God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. In Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul reminds us that although Jesus is God and was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. But instead, he emptied himself completely, taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness. And then once he was emptied and born in human likeness, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus came down to earth and experienced humanity in all its fullness, with its highs and its lows, right there among his disciples. In just a few minutes, we're going to profess our faith with the Nicene Creed, and one of the lines in the Nicene Creed says, "For us and for our salvation, Jesus came down from heaven." God in Christ came down from heaven so that we could have life and have it abundantly, so that we could know God's love and grace and mercy. Jesus could have stayed up there on that mountain, seeking a place apart where he was united with Moses and Elijah, but he didn't. Yet again, he came down. He came down from that mountain, down to where his disciples are, down to where we are, down to the challenges of life here below, down to the problems and anxieties and obstacles that are part and parcel of what it means to be human. Jesus came down. If we read more of that passage, we know that Jesus came down knowing full well that the real low he would endure for us was the crucifixion. We know he was resurrected, and resurrection, of course, is our deepest hope. It's the ultimate mountain high experience. But resurrection is not possible without coming down and without enduring death. We don't like the valleys, none of us do, but they're unavoidable. It's part of living human life. It's not a matter of if we will have lows, it's a matter of when we will have lows. But even in the lowest of lows, in the lowest of valleys, God walks with us, and we are never, ever alone. God is right there among us. God comforts us and leads us through those valleys, through those lows. And remember, even in the darkest of valleys, darkness is not dark to God. Not just at the Transfiguration, but always and even now, Jesus keeps coming down. He comes down to be with us and to endure with us the muck and messiness of life. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen.